Radio Christian Voice News, the Global Link.
The Zambia Consumer Association disputes minister's claim of 15-hour power supply in compounds. Government urged not to increase CDF allocation in 2026 budget. And three West African countries to quit UN top court. Good afternoon. With the lunchtime news at 13, I'm Injo Kasavo. The Zambia Consumer Association, ZACA, has dismissed as misleading Minister of Energy Makozo Chikota's recent claim that residents in compounds are now receiving up to 15 hours of electricity supply daily. The minister had attributed the improved power supply to government-structured and methodical approach to addressing the ongoing load shedding crisis. But speaking in an interview with RCV News in Lusaka today, ZACA Executive Secretary Juva Sakala said that the minister's statement does not reflect the reality experienced by most communities. Perhaps the minister could have mentioned the specific areas receiving 15 hours of electricity so that community members can confirm this, said Mr. Sakala. He argued that the announcement was out of context and inconsistent with the situation on the ground where many consumers continue to experience extended power cuts. Mr. Sakala also raised concern that electricity in some areas is being supplied at odd hours when residents are unable to make effective use of it. He has since urged government through ZESCO Limited to consider providing power during the day, preferably from 7 hours, so that consumers can productively utilize electricity for both household and business purposes.
Whatever he said, I don't know. It was out of context. I don't know what he meant, really. I was wondering what he meant by, or maybe he was trying to project that we might have 10, 15 hours power in the near future. Maybe that's what he was trying to say. I'm trying to pick up the two things. But nevertheless, having 6 hours is really not enough. You know, when power comes at 10, that it goes at 16. And you know, most of the time, work is done in the morning. Afternoon, it's very little. So if they can have that, the same 6 hours that they give, why can't they start power at 7?
The Youth Life Project has urged stakeholders, political parties and the private sector to provide both financial and strategic support to young people aspiring for leadership positions ahead of the 2026 general elections. Youth Life Project Director Michael Nkosi said investing in youth leadership is critical for Zambia to achieve a more inclusive and progressive democratic process. Young people across the country have the passion, energy and ideas to lead, but they often lack the resources to elevate themselves into decision-making spaces, said Mr. Nkosi. Speaking in an interview with RCV News in Lusaka, Mr. Nkosi stressed that youths should not only be regarded as voters or campaign supporters, but also as credible candidates capable of bringing fresh perspectives to governance. Mr. Nkosi highlighted the high cost of political campaigns, including nomination fees, logistics and visibility, as a major barrier that continues to limit young aspirants, particularly those from marginalized communities. He called on stakeholders, including development partners, to empower the next generation of leaders and help level the playing field. Mr. Nkosi further encouraged young people to remain focused, united and actively engaged within their communities as they prepare for the 2026 general elections.
There has been a lot of young people that are actually aspiring to stand. We are happy, but the conversation has always been resources. People with monetary resources will come on the last minute and buy whatever that are supposed to be bought for the people around, and they'll feel compelled to vote for them, just like has been the pattern for many years. So for the young people, besides being knowledgeable, besides having the appetite, besides having the good ideas and the good will, I think it's our time that we also supported them financially. And this is our call to many institutions that have the muscle to actually support these young people.
Governance expert Wesley Mianda has advised government against increasing the Constituency Development Fund CDF allocation in the 2026 national budget, citing concerns of misappropriation and poor utilization of resources. Mr. Mianda noted that the current allocation of 36 million per constituency is sufficient, warning that increasing the figure further could only heighten the risk of corruption and undermining the intended objectives of the program. speaking in an interview with RCV News in Lusaka today, Mr. Mianda emphasized the need for government to strengthen accountability measures and ensure effective utilization of the funds. Some constituencies are failing to put these resources to good use, which has hindered progress on developmental projects. It will be unrealistic and a waste of public funds to increase allocation without addressing these bottlenecks, said Mr. Mianda. And Mr. Mianda criticized the lack of presence by members of parliament in their constituencies, saying it contributes to weak oversight and mismanagement of CDF resources. He has since urged the government to prioritize transparency, accountability, and stricter monitoring mechanisms to ensure the fund achieves its intended purpose of fostering grassroots development.
No one should suggest that government should put in funds for CDF. The reason is simple. The 36 million is more than enough. All we want to see is a refined way of managing these funds in constituencies. Members of parliament have not been there in constituencies, and these people that are also, you know, given an opportunity to run the CDF programs actually are using political lenses, where now they are using these same funds for their own benefit.
Economist Kelvin Chisanga has called for Zambia's future investment policies to adopt a multi-sectorial and inclusive approach, arguing that broad-based participation is key to driving sustainable development. Mr. Chisanga said it is no longer sufficient for investment decisions to be dominated by a few government officials or private sector players, stressing that meaningful engagement of stakeholders such as opposition parties, civil society, and ordinary citizens is critical. As a matter of public interest, there is a strong need to ensure that investment decisions are shaped through wide consultations, as this will enhance transparency, accountability, and shared ownership of projects, said Mr. Chisanga in a statement issued to RCV News in Lusaka today. He added that inclusive investment planning would help ensure that projects respond to the real needs of communities, while guaranteeing that Zambia's abundant mineral wealth and other natural resources are harnessed productively for the benefit of all citizens. He further noted that inclusivity in future investment policies would build public confidence, attract long-term investors, and position Zambia as a model for participatory economic governance in the region.
With the country's rich resource base, the real challenge is turning natural resource or wealth into productive as well as the people-centered investment that promotes jobs and uplifting the communities. So inclusivity is not an option. It is a pathline to sustainable model of growth, bringing about social cohesion, as well as ensuring that Zambia's prosperity is shared by all and not a privileged few. And this should be able to be a model that should be able to sustain.
In Africa news, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Niger have announced they will immediately withdraw from the International Criminal Court ICC, labeling it as an instrument of neo-colonialist repression. The three military-led countries issued a joint statement saying they would not recognize the authority of the United Nations top court based in The Hague. The ICC has proven itself incapable of handling and prosecuting proven war crimes, crimes against humanity, crimes of genocide, and crimes of aggression, the three leaders said. The court has not yet responded to the decision by the three countries, all of which with close ties to Russia, whose leader Vladimir Putin has been subject to an ICC arrest warrant. Coming up shortly, Trump to address United Nations as it distances U.S. from global cooperation. This and more, stay tuned.
Cancer of the blood. Blood cancer is a widely used term for blood, bone marrow, and lymphatic cancer. Mostly, this cancer starts from the bone marrow. In this cancer, the development of blood cells gets disturbed by unrestrained growth of abnormal blood cells. There are no specific known causes of this malignant, but some common symptoms include fevers, night sweating, enlarged lymph nodes, fatigue, and tiredness.